The Synod is actually created by Pope Paul VI. He was kind of answering the wishes of all the fathers who had attended Vatican Council II. They'd been in these meetings for years. There was the development of this collegial spirit. And they said, let's keep this up and let's have some kind of body or organization. And so the Synod was created actually September 15th,
really?
1965, it was instituted. And then during the last, very last session of Vatican Council II, there was a motu proprio by Paul VI, Apostolica Solicitudo. And if you look at the words, anybody who's a linguist, and I do love the meaning of the origin of words, you've got two Greek words to form this. You have syn, S-Y-N, which means together. And the last part of it comes from hodos, H-O-D-O-S, which means road or way. So a synod is a coming together on a single path, if you will.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
It's only applied to religious events as well,
right.
Isn't it?
It is only linked to the church. I suppose originally, if you look at the Greek, it probably was an assembly of like-minded people who governed or whatever. But you don't have it in civil government, but you do have it even in non-Catholic churches. Mm-hmm. And you'll read about the Holy Father approving the nomination of so-and-so. Well, this would be in the Catholic Church. But approving the nomination of so-and-so who was elected by the synod of his peers.
Well, I've discovered that there are synod fathers, and there's a synod hall in the Vatican as well.
Oh, yes, exactly. Where they will be meeting, that's in the new audience hall, which we speak about every Wednesday when the Pope has his audiences inside. A very big hall and wonderful viewing, the way it's set up like an arena. Of course, there's screens for people who, might not be able to see the Holy Father that well. It's a good-sized chamber. And then there's offices around it where your translators work there, and then your synod officials have their temporary offices during the
meetings. And the Pope
is
present most of the time during
the synod. He is. And that can be, that can obviously be his choice. And so, by the way, this is also governed by canons in the Code of Canon Law. Canons 342 to 348 govern a synod. Now, the synod is really a consultative body, but the Holy Father can confer deliberative powers on it. It's directly, the work and everything else is directly under the authority of the Pope, and he assigns the agenda. He calls for a synod to, like he did with the one next year for the Middle East, and obviously this year. He names members, and others are elected, like by their peers or in the different countries, but he also names members. And then when he wishes, he presides over the synod. And gosh, if you look back in the past, the first synod, I think, was 1969. And if you look in the past, how much John Paul was present. He never missed a synod. And he may have missed one or two meetings of a synod, but he was there all the time. And Benedict has really, done the same thing. And now, interestingly enough, there's three kinds of synod. The one beginning today is the General Ordinary Synod, and that deals with, there's General Ordinary deals with matters of the entire church. There's General Extraordinary deals with matters which, quote, require a speedy solution, and then special sessions that handle matters regarding specific churches or regions. And that, I know there was one for the church in the Netherlands, 20 or so years ago, I think in the 80s. I don't remember extraordinary ones. Off the top of my head, I don't.
But it's a very important moment for church.
Well, certainly,
for the church.
In this case, you've got, bishops of Africa coming together, talking about what's the particular problems in Africa, what... there's 53 nations in Africa, so you're going to have individual problems individual to each nation, and then you will have problems for Africa as a whole, as a continent, issues of justice and peace. And
right, and many, that is the theme of this series,
right.
Peace, justice, and reconciliation.
Right, and you usually have about 250 or so people coming together. There's experts, people that are called experts in various fields. There's
and they get to guests intervene as well.
And they do. And so there, time limits on speeches and things like that.
I think 3 minutes for the experts and 5 minutes for the Synod Fathers.
Well, and it's like, gosh, 5 minutes, that would be half the length of the show or something.
Absolutely.
Else like that. And how do you describe your nation's hugest problems or your approach, your suggestion, whatever you're
talking
about?
Well, I do
minutes.
Know that they have the possibility of giving a longer paper.
Oh, sure.
Their actual speech they make is a synthesis of that paper. matter, and it must fit into that time.
And I think bells go off or lights go off or something else like that to let people know that time's up, you know, and on to the – it isn't quite like the UN where a recent world leader, instead of speaking for 15 minutes, spoke for 96. Obviously, that's not going to happen. Things are run very well in Rome. So we'll look forward to a lot of news, and there will be press conferences by the Synod Fathers and the Relator General. Oh, and then we must mention that after Synod is over, there is a council that's set up of maybe 10, 12 members that the Pope appoints, and they come back every so often to do follow-up and report on what follow-up has been achieved in their countries. And then they also, the Synod Fathers, before they leave Rome at the end of October, they will have given to the Holy Father a lot of ideas for a document, which he will put out maybe even a year after the Synod is over. And it's called the Post-Synodal Apostolic Exhortation.
Goodness.
And so it involves that particular, in this case, it's Africa, and then the particular theme and the ideas that they've come up with the Holy Father. You know, here's what we need to do in our church. Or the Universal Church. So you always look forward to those documents. Towards the end, an interesting thing is there aren't so many speeches. The speeches are over, you know, they're programmed for X number of days or weeks. And then at the end, people meet in language groups, roundtable discussions, and more input on a, you know, specific subject. So when you think of the length of it, I mean, you know, 3 weeks, that's a long time for people to, in this case, bishops too, to be away from their dioceses, or priests to be away from their churches. Mm-hmm. But you know, when you got a lot of work to do, you have to set aside that kind of time. So, so good luck. We will be praying for all of our Synod Fathers.
Right, which takes us back to the rest of the week.
And I'll kind of a look
quite,
back,
quite briefly, I think.
Yeah.
Can we just mention the highlights of this week?
Well, I think Vatican Radio obviously gave it and the other media a lot of attention. We know that the Pope got back Monday afternoon from 3 days in, and you were there in the Czech Republic, and at the Wednesday General Audience, he spoke briefly about it in different languages and gave a catechesis in Italian, and I thought it was interesting. He did call his trip a pilgrimage and a mission. And he said it was a pilgrimage because of the many saints who bore witness to Christ in the Czech lands through their very holy lives. And it was a mission because at the present time, Europe needs to discover the joy and hope that come from following the Lord Jesus. And of course, we've discovered after the fall of communism and the walls that came tumbling down and so forth, the nations seem to go in the direction of secularism and relativism and everything else, much more so than following more people were practicing Catholics
years ago. And these
were all
the main themes of this trip.
Sure, the secularism. He must have used that word 1,000 times, sure.
That's right.
And, and you know, when you think about it, really, if I were to be asked what is a recurring theme in Benedict's pontificate, I would have to say his stress on the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives, this person, this historical person who lived, and the Pope's message is, don't be afraid of him. Don't be afraid of him, of his church. Don't be afraid to be a follower. He doesn't take anything out of your life. He only gives something to your life. And somehow he just, you know, he must be so frustrated after trips like this, you know, what don't you understand about what I've said? But just
he seemed
don't
very
be afraid
happy
of him.
At the end of the trip.
He looked that way.
He seemed to feel that the Czech people had listened to what he had to say, you know, and that he had sown some seeds, and who knows, you know, how they'll develop.
Good.
But he really felt that they really were listening with
Good.
Their hearts as well as with their ears.
Good.
Thank you very, very much, Joan.